Diving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in. It's Monday. Back to our roots. We did a Wednesday episode last week,
which I didn't enjoy. I like a Monday.
I thoroughly enjoyed our Wednesday together.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy our time together, but I like routine. I like having a schedule, and I like things being the same time of day, same day of the week. So it threw me off last week.
Are y'all all like that? Am I the odd man out on that?
Is that a Cancer thing? Because I'm so like that. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I know some scrubbers are the same way, because I had some direct messages from some scrubbers Monday and Tuesday saying, I keep hitting refresh. Where's my new episode? And I was like, Wednesday.
Well, I get that. Like, if you're a listener, because I'm like that with TV shows. Like, if they mess up, like, even Bachelor in Paradise now is on Tuesday nights because they're at Dancing with the Stars on Monday. And I'm like, that's kind of Monday was such a nice, like, just escape of, like, chaos to watch Bachelor in Paradise on a Monday.
But you know, it's nothing really rattles you. It's actually funny. So before we started the podcast, Easton sounds like he's, like, in this tin can. And for me, I think I'm a perfectionist in a weird way, because I was like, that sound would annoy me if I was listening. So I was trying to tell him to, like, fix it, right? Becca goes, it's fine. It doesn't really rattle me. And I was like, better question, what would rattle you?
That's a great question. I'll think about that throughout the episode. I mean, I know things rattle me, but I can't, like, when that kind of stuff, I don't know that I'm easily rattled in that.
Easton, department. Let's hear it. Can we get a test?
It's going to sound great to the listener. I was trying to make it sound better for you guys. Because usually, pulling back the curtain a bit, usually I use my built-in laptop microphone to communicate with you, and it sounds like garbage, but the listener hears this thing and it sounds better.
So I don't care about what we hear. I care about what they hear. If they heard this, I would feel bad.
As a perfectionist, does it bother you that those three frames behind us are not straight?
I've been staring at that the whole time.
Because that makes me feel a little rattled, I'm not going to lie. Oh, no.
That made it worse.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I just choked on my own spit that, like, went in that air pipe.
I literally thought I was about to have to do a Heimlich for a second.
It's okay, because it was just my own spit. Wow.
Gross.
Yeah. So today is, like, the most Mondayest Monday. Can I tell you what happened to me when I went to go get my COVID test just an hour ago?
What'd you have to do that for?
I'm hosting something tomorrow. For iHeart that I have to go
work,
get.
Yeah,
for work. So I'm pulling out of my apartment complex, right? And I live on a busy street. And normally when I pull out of you can tell I'm in a parking structure. Nice Samaritans just say, come on in, girl. Like, it's never an issue. I leave my apartment every day, multiple times a day, right? And people just let me in. Because I'm right by.
Because you're on a busy street. You're saying
I'm on a busy street,
but
I'm also right by a stoplight. So cars are usually stopped. It's not like a, you know, whatever. I'm leaving my apartment today. This woman looks me in the eye and literally shakes her finger and says, no. I was like shocked by this. Okay. Like shook to my core. Cause you know me, I'm like, I literally looked at her and I go, you know, I'm trying to mouth it. Seriously? Like you're not. So then I like get pissed and I go right behind her. Right. So I like pull the nice person behind her, said, come on in, sweetheart. And I said, thank you so much. So I pull right behind her and I'm like less than an inch away because now I'm like ticked, right? It was so bad to the fact that, so she makes the light and she goes, and then I'm waiting at the red light and this car next to me rolls down his window and says, I'm going to tell you something. Karma's a bitch and it's going to get her at some point. And I was like, the fact that this guy even saw her do it to me made me feel very, so then I'm like going in through my head of just like, what's going on in this woman's life where she's not letting, like literally looks me in the eye and shakes her finger like I'm not letting you in. And I just go down this rabbit hole of just, she's going through, she just got laid off of her job. She just broke up with
her
significant. Yeah, like I'm just like, she's having a hurt day and she wants to hurt other people.
That, it's so funny how people, like when they're driving that you go down that rabbit hole of what they're feeling based on just these quick interactions of like no dialogue, just like looks. you know,
I understand moves. Being in a rush, you know, if you're in the freeway and you need to get in the fast lane to get, be getting somewhere fast. But this, like, I'm telling you, nobody was moving. She just said, no.
I have a funny story that's kind of similar to that. My friend yesterday was telling me that she was on her way somewhere and she was at a stoplight and this lady next to her like rolled down her window and she thought she needed to get in front of her. So she was like, oh, do you need to get in, my friend? And she goes, no. And so she rolled down her window and she goes, the lady goes, you need to learn how to drive. She was like, I was literally being nice, like thought she needed in. And then she still carried out her plan of what she needed to say to me, even after she saw I was being nice.
Yeah, see, that's like that. Those are the good Samaritans in the world. Mm-hmm. Last night, we were driving back from a wedding and Red Star noticed that this car on the freeway didn't, the taillights were out. So like their taillights weren't working. And we're on the freeway, so we're going fast. Mm-hmm. I would just, you know, I don't know what I would do. But he rolls down his window. He's trying to get this man's attention. The other man rolls down his window and they're like talking on the freeway going, I don't even know. I mean, we're slower than most, probably like 55. But he's all, your taillights are out. And the guy like finally understood him and said, oh, thank you. And I literally was just like, that was so insane. But that was a good Samaritan driver thing to do.
But to Becca's point, I feel like traffic behavior is kind of on a similar wavelength to social media behavior in the sense that you're anonymous in your car.
Right.
You're anonymous on social media. And the way to get around that in your car is to show them your face. We had the thing, we were in Florida last week. We were trying to get to the airport. I told my wife to turn left and it wasn't time to turn left. And I realized we got to go straight here. But there were all these cars in it. It was a double lane to turn left. There were all these cars next to us that were going to prevent us from being able to go straight. And I didn't know where we were going. It was going to be bad if we turned left. So I rolled down the window and I stuck my head out and made eye contact with the driver and said, friendly. Can I go in front of you, please? Right. And he smiled and waved and said, of course.
Right.
Thank you. That's how you get around the anonymousness, anonymity of driving in your car.
Well, but wait, can I tell you a fun fact for all you Olivia Holt fans that listen to the podcast? She is one of those. Yes. Thank you. Easton is Olivia Holt fan. She was one of those people who let me into the lane like 2 weeks ago. I just randomly, she didn't even know it was me. She knows me. She just waved me in to go in front of her. And then as I pulled in, I said, thank you. She goes, oh my God. She rolled down her window and she's like, Tanya. And I was like, wow, Olivia Holt in the wild is a good Samaritan driver.
That's true test of character right there.
Yeah, it's true. Like, imagine if she hadn't and then Tanya saw that it was her.
I just did an interview with her for The Vibe for the weekend show. And she literally brought it up. She's like, oh, my gosh, that was so funny seeing you. And she's like, thank God I let you in.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, we were going to the LSU-UCLA game at the Rose Bowl, which was chaos trying to get into the parking lot. And my sister rolls down the window because they're like, we were like, we need to get over. And I'm like, Caroline, roll down your window, show your face. Like, it's this guy, you know, she's really cute. So I'm like, roll down your window, just like smile and say, hey, can we get in? She goes, hi, like, can we get in? And he's like, no. And just like drives forward, like doesn't even. We had to make the whole block. It was rough. Some people just aren't, they don't got it.
I just think that everybody's on edge these days.
It's true. Mm-hmm. And on social media, it's really bad. Everyone's extremely angry about everything.
Angry about everything. It's very Sonzy times.
It is so Sonzy.
Yeah.
It's been Sonzy for like, a year and a half now?
Yeah, but do you know what's not Sonzy?
What?
Our impromptu girls night that we had last week.
It was so fun.
So many people messaged me saying, this is the girl group I need to be a part of. And I was like, honestly, same. And I'm part of it.
It's what you need and you're part of it.
Yeah. Like, do you ever have people that message? Like, I have some people that message me and say, like, if I post a picture with Red Star, and they're like, you guys are the cutest couple. This makes me emotional. I want to cry. Like, I'm so happy for you. And I'll literally respond and say, honestly, it makes me cry sometimes too.
That's very on brand.
It honestly does.
It's so funny because, like, all of y'all are friends. We've done my birthday together. We've like been to things together, but y'all are all from different parts of my life. You know? And so, and it was so unplanned.
Impromptu,
like, I was
impromptu, some may say.
Yeah. JoJo's in town right now. And she'll just text me. She's staying like 5 minutes down the road. So she'll just be, I'm just coming over. I'm bringing you Starbucks. So she'll just come out. She is my friend who, like, she can sit on the couch and we can like order takeout and she eats the same as me. She enjoys like just she don't have to do anything. So she's that friend for me. So we were sitting there, Tanya FaceTimes. You were crying. You were like upset about something and just starts crying. And I like flash it over to JoJo to be like, hey, JoJo's here too, in case you're, you know, don't want anyone to hear.
Which
what
I appreciated that. I appreciated the warning.
And so she starts laughing because she's like, I don't even know why I'm crying, but I'm like, come over. We're just hanging out. So then Haley and Marla were working from my house. And so Haley, Marla, and Tanya all showed up within like a minute of each other. So it was just like everyone was, I felt like I was on a Friends episode. And then Allie DMs me and she's like, I feel left out. This feels very unkind. And I'm like, come over. Like, this wasn't even a planned thing. So she comes over and it's like the energy of all my friends together.
It's like we were all PMSing at the exact same time. We all had like different things. So I was like really upset that day just with like just some work career stuff it was like a hard day for me. And then Allie was kind of having like a work issue. Like
she hurt her knee. And so she's kind of feeling
physical,
down.
A little physical downness. Yeah. JoJo was down about
JoJo just is anxious and spirally at all any given moment.
And Becca's the only one that's just like even
I'm just
keeled.
Like staring, listening to all the conversations happening, like, wow, this is like a ball of anxiety all in one place. What a joy.
So we all walk to 7-Eleven and buy just like gross like ice cream.
Slurpees,
pizza.
Tanya got a ice cream Snickers bar.
I got an ice cream Snickers bar. Yeah.
But it was really fun. So then everyone's still hanging out and we ordered pizza and I'm like, should we play like, well, beer pong, but we filled it up with water. So to avoid a mess, but only JoJo and I drank, but
yeah, it was a work night. So like,
yeah. And so we play and we were trying to pick teams and Tanya's like, I mean, I've been playing Prosecco pong all summer. So I'm probably the best one out of the four of us. Like, really selling herself. The rest of us were like, I don't know. I mean, I don't play this very often. JoJo's like, I think I'm horrible. So the teams were me and Tanya versus JoJo and Allie. And they like crushed us. Tanya didn't make one, I think, until like the very end.
I was rattled that day. Okay. I wasn't in my best performance. But my favorite part is like, you know, you're in your 30s when 8:30 hits. And I was like, oh, Gotta get to bed.
Yeah, everyone exited quick. I was like doing a quick cleanup and then it was 8:30 and I was back on my couch ready for the rest of my night. But yeah, it was fun. It's like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people will probably feel this way of like how exciting it is when all of your different friend groups or like different people from your friend groups come together and everyone like loves each other and has so much fun. I don't know if y'all relate to that, guys.
No, it reminds me of like, did you guys watch the Friends special?
Yes.
So you know how they said like, that's what made Friends like so magical, because it's like that time of your life where you're like in between college and like family in a sense. Mm-hmm. So like your friends are your family and you kind of are going through that cycle and that phase of life. And it's like, I think as we're getting older and we're starting to get into relationships and like our friendship is changing in the most beautiful way. Mm-hmm. But then when you have those like moments of just like, that was like back in the day where we were just like sitting on your couch, the dancing Backstreet Boys, like running Backstreet Boys dances. Like that's what it felt like. We were just doing like dumb stuff. And it was so fun.
It did. It felt like we were like young 20s again.
Right.
Even though we didn't meet then, but that's what it felt like.
Right. I felt like a 19-year-old schoolgirl with a Britney Spears skirt on saying, hit me, baby, one more time.
Oh, specific thought.
Yes. A specific time in my life.
Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah. I had so much fun. Everyone left and I was like, that was a really unexpected and fun day.
Yeah. Totally
should do it again, but it's like you know, if you don't plan this thing,
the impromptness of it made it cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then I skipped
my workout that day, like, you know what I mean? I know, thank you.
And had Snickers ice cream and skipped your workout. That is a non-Tanya day, but it's good every once in a while.
Thank you.
It was a Becca Tanya day. It was a Becca type of day.
Yeah,
with Tanya.
Yeah.
She committed to it, which I really appreciated, because there was a Snickers bar on the counter and she was like, oh my gosh, the Snickers ice cream is so good. And I was like, who's getting that? And she was like, I am. I was like, I feel so proud right now. Like, that is, makes me so happy. I haven't worked out in 2 months and I worked out for the first time today and I literally almost threw up. I don't know how to, I'm like, do I do it again on Wednesday or do I just like quit again?
Yeah, you do it again.
It just feels so easy to just be like, I remember why I stopped. It hurts.
Well, you have to work through the pain. Pain is momentary. And also, like, when you work out and you push through the pain, it's like you can like replicate that in your real life. You know, when something feels like it's too tough and you can't do it, like, you actually really can do it. It's just mind over matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard. I've been trying to get back into a routine since 2014. So, like, I know how it is. Like, easing back in, just like, okay, I'll go harder next week, you know?
Yeah.
You got to ease into it.
And in my mind, because I, for basically the whole 2020, Haley and I worked out with our trainer, Astrid, and it was just Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And that was, like, part of the day, which when we weren't doing anything, it was so, you know, it was, like, something to do. I felt so good after I did it. And then as things started to pick back up, I just... kind of, and then moving and everything, I just stopped doing it. And then I was laying there today, like, literally on the verge of throwing up, thinking, why did I come back?
No, you have to push through the pain. It's momentary.
I mean, what are we talking?
Well, you felt like you were gonna throw up for what, 5 seconds, minute?
No, like, for 30 minutes after. It was pretty touch and go.
Drink some water and handle it.
Comforting. She's a comforter, a nurturer.
You're tough. You're so much tougher than you think you are. And, like, that's the thing. Like, it's not, you're not going to throw up. You just feel like you're going to throw up.
Yeah. But I'm scared. I fear throwing up. Like, I'm not someone who can just, like, you know, how people are like, when they have a really bad stomach ache or they know they're going to throw up eventually, they're like, I'm just going to make myself throw up. I do not. I'm like, I'm avoiding it as much as I can.
What was it? Did she try and have you too? Like, did you do a lot of cardio?
Mostly just movement that hurts at this point. You know, it's like weights and cardio. I was doing like jump rope and then burpees. It was just like, what makes burpees. Me want to, the burpees, just saying that word makes me want to throw up. But I've been not, this is the thing. I've been feeling like I have a lot of brain fog. Like, I don't have a lot of like mental clarity. And I think it, I
you know, we should do
what?
We should do like a saging of your mind.
Like when you almost lit my house on fire?
Yeah, but for like your mind. Like, we can use...
Yeah, this time we're going to light your hair on fire.
Yeah. Exactly.
This thing is dry. So you'd blow up.
What do you want to do for your brain fog?
Well, I was thinking maybe like some diet changes and like working out. That's what I'm saying. I was like trying, but yeah, we can get back into saging when, if those things don't work.
Plan B.
I was thinking, here's the issue. When I take edibles, I have this uncontrollable, I'm not kidding, it is not controllable, need to eat. And I will be sitting there eating.
Isn't that what it does? Isn't that like what it does? Like,
yeah, like the munchies.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, if I take a half of an edible, which is, I normally take like a 5 milligram, I don't take like a lot at all. But if I take a half, I just go to sleep. But if I take a full, I go on a full journey of feeling like I'm floating and then I'm laughing. And then I'm like, you know, what would make this so good is if I had food. And then nothing in my pantry sounds good. So the other night I order Jack in the Box, the mini tacos. They were loaded with cheese, sauce, and lettuce. And I ate almost the whole like bucket. Like, I don't even know, they come in like a box. And I swear today I woke up. That was Saturday night. I still don't feel well.
I believe it.
And it's like, but so does that just mean it's hard? I battle between, I don't like to drink because I don't feel well after I drink. So if I'm going to drink, I have to be prepared that I'm going to feel mildly hungover, tired, like gross the next day. If I take an edible, I'm physically fine if I don't gorge myself on Jack in the Box, but I feel like my body feels fine. Mm-hmm. So that's That's the struggle I've gone through.
Sounds like quite the pickle you're in.
Yeah.
Saying every time I take an edible, I get so hungry. Isn't that like saying every time I drink coffee, I feel so wired? Like, isn't that the deal? Isn't that part and parcel?
Well, sometimes, like I said, sometimes I'll get in bed and when like I feel high, it can just put me to sleep. The problem is if I take it too early and I'm not sleeping.
So like, do you take edibles because you want to be high or do you want to take them to go to bed? Because you can try other things.
Both,
like
both.
Melatonin, yeah, there's meditation apps.
It's not I take melatonin too. And sometimes I'll not do I won't do THC. I'll do CBD, which is like, doesn't do anything. I don't get hungry or anything. It just helps me calm down. Because the issue is that I can take melatonin, but sometimes my brain stays on. And if I take half an edible or CBD, it just like calms my brain and then I can just go into my melatonin sleep.
Do you ever get scared that you're going to get so like addicted to the THC?
I don't take it enough to.
And then you're going to want something like harder, like crack or something?
No, because I can barely go.
I don't know. What comes after edibles? What's the next?
Well, I only take 5 milligrams, so I think I would have to really build on that before I moved on to something else. But it's like if you just have a glass of wine and then you're like, that didn't really do it for me, so I'm gonna have another glass.
Got it.
Do you ever go to sleep unaided with nothing? No anything?
I mostly sometimes like I'll take like a melatonin and that'll be it.
No, that's aided. That's aiding. I'm saying, is there any time you just go to sleep with no melatonin, no THC, no CBD, no nothing?
I feel like if I'm eating healthy and I'm not drinking any soda or caffeine or anything and I'm working out, my body's so tired that I'll fall asleep. It's not really the falling asleep.
Sounds healthy
to
me.
It's the staying asleep that sometimes. Mm. And melatonin helps you stay asleep. So sounds like I have some issues, but glad we're talking about. But I think there is a stigma around marijuana, and I do think just like anything, people can overuse it and abuse it. But like I said, I feel better than I do when I drink. So
yeah, you know, it's interesting because I for me, when my head hits the pillow, I am comatose until my alarm goes off in the next morning. Like I am, you could have a circus in my bedroom and I would not hear a thing. Like I am usually a very, very heavy sleeper. But I've realized that's not the norm. Like, I feel like a lot of people wake up a lot in the middle of the night. They wake up to pee. People wake up, their brain starts like rattling off their things that they have to do. And so I'm grateful for my sleep.
Well, yeah. I mean, if my alarm was going off at 4:30 in the morning, I'd probably hit my pillow pretty hard as well. So I think most people could relate to that who have your schedule and do what you do.
It's,
I don't know, maybe
like,
y'all can relate.
Head
y'all
hits
do
the
it.
Pillow and it's just comatose.
Yeah, in 2009, I got a job where my shift was 3 a.m. to 11 a.m. I got up at 1:30 in the morning to get to work at 3 a.m. And ever since then, I can sleep anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well.
But I realize it's not, a lot of people don't have that luxury. So I'm really grateful for it. And I've actually been writing it down in my gratitude journal regularly. Mm-hmm. That I'm grateful that I can sleep through the night.
It's beautiful.
Can't claim that, but I can fall asleep anytime, any place.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start setting my alarm for 4-ish and seeing what I do by 7 p.m.
No, or just try like 6 a.m.
Oh, it's still dark.
But still, it's better than, I mean, I just think, why don't you like ease your way into it?
I mean, easing my way into it would be more like 7, I think.
Okay, then let's try 7 tomorrow. Let's just try it. Why not experiment? See, here's the thing. Why not experiment with things? If something's not working, try something else.
It's working. It's just aided.
No, it's not working.
What's not working?
Needing aid to sleep is the definition of it not working.
Of what not working? My body?
Your sleep cycle. Oh. So let's try and
A lot of people just need help because they can't shut their mind off. I think it has something to do with our phones and, I mean, mine's all so many things. It's my phone. It's my diet. It's my lack of exercise. It's
but
not
all
like,
those things are fixable.
Yeah, yeah.
you're acting like this is just how I am. And a lot of people are like this, so that's fine.
No. I'm saying that I don't think it has so much to do. I'm not sleeping until like 11. It's not like I'm like just sleeping in. Like I wake up and I'm still like a little bit tired. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, you know, it's not like 1 p.m. and I'm like, ugh, just did not. I don't know why I'm tired because, or why I'm not tired at night because I slept till in the afternoon. But anyways, I'll try. I'll start waking up.
Let's try experimenting. Next week on the podcast, I'd like you to come back and have experimented with something different.
Okay. I'll start trying.
I love homework.
It's kind of, you do get like a high, like your energy shifted when you started trying to boss me around.
That's true.
You would have been a great teacher. She would have been a really good teacher of like,
well, I was the vice president of education for my sorority, Kappa Alpha Theta. So I did teach in some way, shape or form.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll switch some things up and I'll try to do it unaided and see what happens.
So I got dressed in the dark this morning because I spent the night at Red Star's house. And so I try and sneak out. I try not to wake him up when I leave. And so I put my clothes on in the dark and just like skedaddle. I put my hoodie on backwards. So I had like the hood around the front of me. And I was laughing so hard because people were saying that they do this on purpose on planes. They wear their hoodies backwards so they can just put the hoodie over their head and sleep.
Wow.
Genius.
I know. And I was like, wow, if only I was taking a nap today.
That's so smart because I shouldn't care what people think of when I'm sleeping on a plane. But when I see other people doing it and I'm like, oh man, like is anyone taking photos or anything? Not that I would ever do that. But like if someone was to do that.
Right. Or like I drool when I sleep. So like now, you know, there you go. Hot tip for everybody listening.
Do you drool every night? Like do you wake up?
I drool. Mm-hmm. I know, it's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's really gross.
Tanya's saliva has been more a topic of conversation today than it really should be.
I know, and you know what? I actually couldn't ask Red Star about the videoing us kissing because he watches the Instagram, like scrubbing in Instagram, and he came, I know, and he was like, you don't open your eyes when you kiss. And I was like, oh, you didn't hear the whole conversation. I'm not saying I'm wide-eyed. I'm saying I open my eyes to look at you to make sure you're real. And then I just sounded creepy to ask if I could video it. So I need to give it a little time.
So, yeah, I mean, he wouldn't know that you look at open his eyes because his eyes are closed.
Unless he looks at me too, which
sounds like he does.
Maybe.
Awkward moment when you guys both open your eyes.
Yeah, I hope that y'all time that out.
Do you want to know something so funny that I actually haven't even told you?
Oh, yeah. This is a live exclusive
story. So I can't remember the day's blur, but he texted me the other day and he was like, my friend just passed by you on Raya, which is like that dating app.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's weird. And then in my head, I didn't even think anything of it. I thought somebody's using my photo or something like that. Right. Then I was with him and I was like, let me send an email to this app and just let them know like, hey, I'm not on it. That's not me, whatever. But then I start realizing you have to get like let into this dating app. So you have to like upload your like Instagram handle, all this stuff. So I was like, somebody can't be impersonating me on this account. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, it's gotta be me. So I re-download the app. Sure enough.
Oh, because if you don't deactivate, like if you don't deactivate your account, it stays there even if you delete the app.
Yes, I had no idea. So for months, I've just been on this dating app, fully just there. I'm like, thank God there's like so much trust in my relationship. Like he didn't even bat an eyelash. He was just like, oh my God, that's so funny. So then we go into like all my matches or like, you know how like it goes into like it goes into the conversations and they're so funny. Like this one guy was like, hey, Tanya, how's your day going? Obviously, I don't respond. Hey, Tanya, any fun plans this week? Obviously, I don't respond. Then he goes, thanks for the match. Bye.
I was like, oh, wait, so it matches without you even matching it?
No, like I was on it for like 2 days while we were broken up in that like weird time.
Yeah.
So I'd matched. I swiped on a couple people. So like, I'm sure I must have been those people. But like we're going through the conversations and I'm like peeing laughing because they were kind of rude. But yeah, I get it because I just didn't respond.
Well, Josh Groban is not used to being stood up on Raya. Sorry, if he's going to reach out, you should respond.
But how funny is that? I've been fully. And what's so funny is because he texted his friend back being like, oh, weird. Somebody must be using her photos or something. And then when we realized that it was actually me, we were like, his friend probably thinks I'm so shady.
Yeah, you did tell me the beginning of that story. You're like, someone is using my photo. Yeah, on a dating app.
Yeah. But it
wasn't that exclusive. This wasn't that exclusive for me personally.
But now when people, like, I feel like people call sometimes and they're like, I found my boyfriend on, you know, Bumble still, or like, you know, she's been dating this guy and he's still on da da da. Now I'm going to actually believe the person that's still on the app because it happened to me. I've been fully on it for like 6 months.
Listen, I think there's the rare case that that happens. And I think there's the other option, which is that slimy dogs are on the loose.
Slimy dogs. Yeah. And he like literally looked over and he goes, "You deactivated it this time, right?" He's like, "What'd you do?" And I was like, "Yes, I met somebody."
I just love like that you're always, I mean, Red Star is amazing and he is, I think it's so interesting of how like he doesn't get like jealous or anything. He's very secure, but I love how you always act like shocked. Like, yeah, he didn't even bat an eye. What reason would that man have to assume that you were doing anything that wasn't loyal?
I know that's true. You make a good point. But I mean, if somebody told me that he was still on a dating app, I'd kind of be like,
well, we know.
I wouldn't like that. You know, I wouldn't like that. Even though I fully trust him, like I wouldn't like that. And he's just cool, calm. I wish I had that. That's a quality of his that I wish I had.
He's cooler and calmer than I am. Like
in every situation, like you can't rattle the guy. Even when he's overwhelmed with like work and stuff, like he's just calm. And I'm the opposite.
We should prank him.
I'm like spastic. Like, meh.
We should prank him.
How would you like to prank him?
Well, I can't because he'll list. This could be a clip used for the Instagram, which he will definitely see. He's a P1.
You want him to think that Tanya is seeing someone that she met on
not in that. I'm just talking about in another fun prank of something that could like shake him, make him a little bit more aware of his surroundings because he's so chill. He does not care.
We could leave my apartment door open. Just leave it open. He's dropping off my vaccine card later.
What is that going to do?
He might think somebody came and took me.
Oh.
Huh. Something that involves the authorities. You'd probably stay away from that.
Put a bunch of ketchup all over the floor.
Yeah.
I love this. This is really going to be good.
So the prank is that your door's left unlocked?
Well, he's going to come and be like, why is her door not unlocked, wide open?
A wide open.
And he's like, why is her door open? And then we're not here. Nobody's
here.
You're
trying to scare him.
No, I don't like it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's a little too dark for me personally.
Plus, he's such a chill dude. He'll probably be like, oh, Tanya, left the door open again.
He's probably like, off on a run or something. Let me just lock that for her.
Yeah.
Truly.
Doesn't even look around.
No. Calm.
Yeah. I'll be thinking about something because I want to see how calm he is.
He did say I have free reign to prank him on April. He likes April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So he's given me, I know he's one of those people.
That's interesting.
I know. So maybe we put a pin in it and April Fool's Day, we really get him good.
Okay, great. We have a lot of time to plan.
Yeah. Great. We will fake your abduction and murder on April 1st.
We'll make it really real.
No, that's interesting. If you could have a quality of your significant other, what would it be? That would be my, I mean, I would pick a lot of things of his, but that one is probably top tier.
Probably passion and drive. 95P. Got it. I think we've talked about that before. We have a very special anniversary, but we're going to take a break and then we will come back and talk about that.
Hey guys, it's Jana Kramer. The iHeartRadio Music Festival is back. Join us for the official iHeartRadio Music Festival pre-show podcast hosted by me, Jana Kramer. It's going to be a blast, and we will have all your favorite celebrities and artists joining, such as Chrissy Metz, Debbie Gibson, Joey McIntyre, Donny Osmond, 98 Degrees, Teddy Mellencamp, and so many more. Get your tickets today at onlocationlive.com. Let's get lucky.
Hey, I'm Bethany Joy Lenz.
I'm Hillary Burton Morgan.
And I'm Sophia Bush.
And we are doing a virtual event in September in honor of One Tree Hill Day, September 23rd.
OTH Day for the OTH fam. And this podcast family is going to be benefiting Kind Campaign with this event. They work to end bullying in schools, and we just love them.
That's right. The Drama Queens are so excited to hang out with you guys on our very special day. So all the information is going to go up on loopedlive.com. There is more information coming soon.
That's LOOPED live.com.
The Drama Queens are coming to you live from the iconic Beverly Hilton Hotel. That's loopedlive.com for tickets.
Okay, we're back. So I just want y'all to know that it is the fourth anniversary tomorrow of scrubbing in when it all began.
Happy fourth birthday. What's the thing for a 4 years anniversary?
Fruit and flowers.
Really?
Yes.
That's so cute.
So an edible arrangement.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was things specific for each anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's fifth?
Yeah, let me look.
I'm planning for next year?
No, I just never heard, never heard that.
Yeah.
Fifth is wood.
What?
Quick, cute story. First anniversary is paper, and my wife and I both thought it would be hilarious to stop by Staples and grab a ream of printer paper for the other one on our anniversary, our first anniversary. We both had the same idea for the same joke.
That is cute.
Wait, y'all did it separately for each other?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Is it wedding? It's wedding anniversary, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so well, ours is a wedding of sorts.
Yeah, not really, but we can a still
union,
use the...
It was a union of sorts.
Well, I think, is this anniversary from like the first episode when I was a Lone Ranger with Mark and Amy in Easton? It was just me talking essentially to myself. It felt
this
like
the fourth anniversary of that one. Yeah.
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 So maybe we'll celebrate the fruit and stuff when our anniversary of you coming on your first episode.
Yeah. But like, let's streamline it. Let's just keep it, you know, September 14th feels like it's in the calendar.
Yeah. It's just crazy. I mean, I literally remember Amy reaching out to me being like, do you want to start a podcast? And in my mind being like, I had co-hosted on Ben and Ashley's. I had taken like covered for Ben while he was out of town. And it was so much fun. I was like, this is really fun. Just like talking and not really having to worry about what I look like. I can just kind of talk. And then she asked if I want to start one. I was like, well, what do I talk about? And 4 years later, we're just like talking about edibles.
Tanya's saliva.
Stuff. Yeah, and Tanya drooling. We've really just the content that everyone needed continues to come 4 years later.
It continues to come. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what I think is actually what makes me happy about this podcast in particular is because I feel like there are a lot of things that you can watch and that you can listen to. There's lots of podcasts, there's lots of television shows. But like, we actually really are friends in real life.
Yes, we are.
But I think it adds an element of like, we're just like doing life together.
Yeah.
You know, like if you think about it 4 years ago, okay. Actually, let's think about it. What year was that 4 years
2017.
ago? 2017. Where were you personally in that year?
I was single and I was living in LA. It was my first year living in LA.
Yeah, September of 2017. I think I was I was newly in the on-air role on the morning show, right? That was like 6 years ago.
Well, this is 4 years ago.
Hold on. We're talking about 2017. Have you been on the air in the morning show for like 8 years?
No, I was behind the scenes. I wasn't like technically on air until Sisney came in.
Okay, so after Ellen left.
Yeah.
All right.
Which
so
is
that was
what
2015.
Year?
15.
Okay, so yes. I was newly. I would say newish.
2 years in.
2 years in.
Yeah.
Still getting my chomps wet.
Oh.
That's not a phrase.
Chomps.
What? Still getting my...
From your drool?
Still just getting my chops prepared.
Yes.
I had just stopped sleeping with men.
I'm sorry. 4 years ago. You just were getting your chomps prepared?
I was just getting my chomps wet. Like I was new. Isn't that a thing?
Getting your toes wet.
No.
Yeah.
Isn't it chomps?
Like, are you? Chomps? Is that your teeth?
Yeah. Or I was just getting my chops. Or isn't that a thing?
Like, you've got chops, but they don't do anything.
Sometimes you chomp at the bit.
No.
And you can wet your appetite,
and you can get your feet wet.
What am I trying to say?
I was just getting my feet wet.
Like I was.
I think that's what you're trying to say.
Do you call your feet chomps though?
No.
Because you can spin it if you.
Like
need
I was just
to.
Getting my acting chomps.
Oh,
chops.
Oh God.
Anyways, you were just
starting. I feel like, no, I was well into my, not sleeping with unattached men.
Yes.
Vigorously dating.
Yes.
Like vigorously dating.
Our first few episodes with you were quite hilarious in those times. Mr. Whole Foods, Mr. Wilshire.
Oh my Mr. Whole Foods, Mr. Wilshire, yeah. Catman. Oh, no, Dogman. Do you remember that friend that my dog. Friend Mel set me up with? She like, so she meets this guy at this, I don't even know what. Meets him for 2 seconds and gets his number to set me up with him. I didn't know this when she set me up on the date. I thought like she had known this guy for a while. And I go on the date with him. We have zero in common. He has an Instagram account for his dog. He goes to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. He like, goes out to like the raves at downtown Los Angeles. I was like, I call her after. The date couldn't have been faster. It was like 25 minutes. I was like, get me the F out of here. I get home. I call her and I go, what about this man? Did you think like was, you know... She goes, well, you're just like really nice to talk to. And I just wanted you to know that there were still nice men out there. And I was like, oh, that was not needed.
You're like, I haven't lost hope to this degree.
I haven't lost hope to this degree.
I'm
so
sure
that's where
was,
I was in life.
Yeah. You were so funny because that was like, that was when you were on like Raya and you'd be like, what do I say? What do I say? And we do it on the podcast and you would inevitably send happy Saturday. You know, it's just like.
But you know what's interesting is I was on these apps for a very long time and I really only met 2 actual humans from the app.
Yeah. What was the guy? What was Mr. Who was the guy before?
Mr. D.
Doctor. No.
Mr. D.
Mr. D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him. And so, then after him, I met Red Star.
I've been consulting with my archives to see what you were actually up to in the fall of 2017, because I keep diligent notes on the morning show. So this was the iHeartRadio. You went to New York and you had a late night with Tubbs, which I think we made more of on the radio than actually happened in reality.
That was that year.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This was the year that like Nick Jonas did like a ice skating party, ice skating, rented out some ice skating rink in New York. And I went to that.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking Tipler. Sorry. I confused Tubbs with Tipler.
Yes.
Well, you got a phone number in New York on September 28th. We talked about that. Does that ring a bell? Okay. No. We need a break on that. You interviewed Dua Lipa. You gave a speech at your old high school.
Oh, yeah.
That was September, actually October of 17.
I went back to my high school for some, I don't know what exactly it was, but I gave a speech. Yeah.
And you were asked out by a married man.
Yes.
Who?
Very married. You know this too. You know this. We didn't have a name for him because I obviously did not accept it. But you know, you're aware of said man. Short, stout.
Boy, he sounds like a real
like a
catch.
Real winner, right? Yeah. That was a hard decline for me.
Let him get away.
The one that got away.
Short and stout. I'm like,
short, stout, married, asks out single women. Really, what a guy.
Really, just top notch. It's pretty crazy, though, when you look back at like 4 years seems like it's a flash in the pan, but it really, a lot has changed.
Is flash in the pan?
That's a thing.
No.
You guys.
Yeah. Not in that context. Yeah. It's not. But still, it's always fun to hear what you're going to say. Well, and that's why we're all here.
When y'all don't react, I'm like, oh, maybe it's something I've never heard of. But then I'm like, no. I've never heard of that.
A flash, that's a real expression. A flash in the pan is like somebody who, or fad or something that's really popular and then goes away very quickly. Like Nico and Vins was a flash in the pan.
Right. Okay. So like, you think 4 years is like lickety split and it's not. Like a lot has happened. I mean, you've been like, you're in a relationship for how long has it been now? Like official.
3 years and 5 months.
Wow.
Almost 3.5 years.
That's wild.
I know. That is wild because even sometimes when I think about that, it feels more like 2 years.
Okay. Which is just a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, it's just cool of how much life has happened and how we have all done it together and had the, you know, the live shows. And it's just, it's cool because there's definitely been like highs and there's been times where it's been hard to get on here and have a podcast that was like.
And do you feel like, I feel like I get asked a lot of time from people that are starting podcasts now. How did you build your, you know, your scrubbers, your scrub sisterhood? And I literally, I'm like, there was no like strategy. You know what I mean? Like we just came on here and we're like,
is this my cut?
Yeah, is this thing on? How's it going? You know, like I have no good advice in terms of just like, because people want strategy. They want to know how to build their audience. And I'm like, I have no idea, but they're the most loyal mm-hmm. humans on the planet.
I mean, I will say I would be curious to know, because you had listeners from The Morning Show who love you. I had people from The Bachelor who watched me on The Bachelor. So we both had that built in. But I'm curious of the people who never watched The Bachelor, like didn't follow me from The Bachelor, or didn't listen to the more like radio yeah. show, who listen to the podcast. I'd be curious to know what those numbers look like. But yeah, I think it's like, I always feel like people ask, you know, how did you build your listen, like how did you build that? And I think it's the community. It's not so much how it started, but how it's like consistently stayed consistent.
Yeah, consistently stayed consistent.
I was gonna see if you call me out on that, but took you a second.
Let me tell you what scrubbers are not doing. They're not letting people out of their driveways onto a busy street. I can tell you that much.
Holler. Right. They're very welcoming people and very polite, kind people.
Exactly.
Yes, they are. Easton sent a, I don't, is this supposed to be anonymous?
No, it's not supposed to be anonymous.
So Easton sends a group chat, sends a message to the group chat and said he needed some advice on something. And he was like, should I send it to the scrubbing an email? And I was like, I would just, let's just do it live on the podcast. So we don't know what's about to happen.
This will be quick. But so my buddy is out of town for an extended period of time. He asked me to go over and water his lawn. So he has a very nice pool.
Is that a metaphor of some sort, or is that
no,
a literal?
It's just,
okay.
All right.
Are you guys involved in some sort of thruple?
I mean, okay. So it's just a buddy of mine, close friend of mine. He's out of town, needed me to water his lawn. He has a really nice pool. Nobody's home. So we go over there and we go swimming in the pool, Allison and I. He has a camera in the backyard. And I assumed it was like one of those cameras that like, it's not recording anything. It's just kind of there. Yesterday in the afternoon, we decided to go skinny dipping. This is the first time I've ever done this ever, because I'm a very square person. So we do it and it's fun. And that's all. And then later in the afternoon, I get a text to a group text with my friends on it, a picture of me naked. And he says, wire me $1,200 or I won't send the really naughty ones. And like, he's clearly joking, and I'm a chill dude, but so it kind of weirded me out. So my question is, was me going skinny dipping, was that bad? Should I not have done that? Or is he a creep for like, taking screenshots of the camera?
Can I go all of the above on this one?
I would have enjoyed you asking him if you could use the pool. I would have enjoyed that prior to the skinny dipping.
Okay. The pool, there was an understanding that because he's been out of town for a long time, another friend was watching the house while he was gone. We've been swimming this whole time. This is the first time it was just me alone. And yeah, maybe I should have texted and said, can I go swimming? And not said anything about being naked in his backyard.
Right.
But like,
I need to know like where you got, because my camera and all my around my whole house, like they're all recording like at all times. So like I can go back to any date and find if there's someone back there. So I want to know where that thought came of like, that probably isn't doing anything, so I'm going to strip down.
I have an S camera in my house, and it doesn't record. It's just it's a live stream, and because you have to pay extra for the recording.
Yeah.
So
that's where that thinking came from.
Was this a spur of the moment decision? Like, why not grab a suit?
It was. I had my suit.
Because let me tell you, once you skinny dip, you never go back.
It was exciting.
True. Yeah. Oh. Nice. It's nice to feel it in your.
I'll happily go back after this. But
you weren't alone, right? It was you and your wife?
It was me and Allison, yeah.
Uh huh.
So that means that he has photos of Allison too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is like, that's weird.
But if he's your friend, he's not going to like lob those photos around. I
think it's very weird that he sent that picture to a group chat. If he sent it just to you with a $1,200 joke, okay, funny, haha.
Yeah.
But to the group chat is weird.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was trying to be cool. And I was like, hey man, I watered your lawn, you know, like I was trying to be like cool about it, but I was also like, oh man, like what else did he see?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What else did you do in there?
Nothing. We didn't do anything like bad. Mm-hmm. It's just so, like nothing. If it was a movie, we'd get an R rating because there was like frontal nudity, but like nothing past that.
Is Allison freaking out?
She was, yeah. Yeah, she was freaking out about it.
I personally would be freaking out just because, like, I would be like, I don't want anyone to have that footage of me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you did see the camera.
We knew the camera was there.
And you chose to take off your clothes. So I don't know if maybe you have a conversation and just say, hey, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you just let it go. And it's like,
I would let it go and act like you don't care. Like, be like,
what if, I don't know.
Once again, he's your friend. You preface this with saying he's your friend. So he's really not going to like put it on the internet.
Well, we have heard from people who follow your story about how friends will sometimes cheat on their spouse with their or your spouse.
True, but I feel like Ethan, you would know if this friend is like shady.
Yeah, I trust this friend mostly, yeah. But he's capable of some diabolical stuff. Yeah, so
if his first move was sending it to the group chat, that's a little questionable.
The picture he sent was you can't see any of Allison. Like she's like in the hot tub. You can only see it from her like neck up.
Oh my god!
And I am my rear is to the camera, so you can't see like.
Oh no! I would act like you don't care. I would honestly act like you don't care and be like, haha, that's the best you got. I'm sure there's better ones in there or something like that.
Okay. Your butt to the group chat is better. Not what I thought. That's not what I was picturing. So that's not so bad because it's kind of like, you know, oh, that's kind of funny. If I were a pool owner, which I kind of am, but not a traditional pool, but I'm trying to think if it would bother me. Like, I don't think it would bother me to have a neighbor who is watching my house while I'm gone swim, but skinny dipping might bother me.
No, it's all the same. Because
it is a difference. It's not, because it just makes me think about pubes and the skimmer, you know? And that's it's going to bother me.
Let me tell you something. Pubes are going to get in the skimmer with a bathing suit on or sans. I'm just going to tell you that.
I don't know about that. I don't know if that's true.
It's a psychological thing because it is just like a thin layer of lycra,
yeah,
like over, you know, separating.
And water
as you
goes,
can imagine.
Swims in through there. You know, like water swims in through your suit.
Yeah, it's like really in terms of cleanliness, I feel like it's not that much different. I think it's a symbolic thing.
Yeah. You know? I'm mostly my biggest takeaway from that is that he has mostly not saying that you don't matter, but the thought that he has footage of Allison.
Yeah.
In the nude.
I don't know why I'm so unbothered by this because I feel like nakedness of me is just like everywhere.
Not seeing it. I'm saying having it, and people can be. Yeah. You don't know what people are gonna do.
True.
I think it's nice to be able to trust people and be like they would never. But
like Allison and I are both like open, and we're proud of our bodies. But like it was the fact that we were being watched without knowing that was felt invasive.
But again, you saw
it's not my house.
knew you were being. You knew you might have been being watched.
Yeah.
You're in front of a camera.
So we're ruling both parties at fault, right? That's
what we're doing. I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, I would say don't do that again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm showering with my swimsuit on from now on. You know, nice.
Like you're never nude.
Yes.
Put on the denim shorts.
So you're saying you would never go on Naked and Afraid of Love?
We've been watching a lot of Naked and Afraid and Naked and Afraid of Love, which
What's
is probably
naked
what
and
sparked
afraid of love.
It's like Naked and Afraid, but like a love version of it.
So it's Naked Bachelor.
Yeah. It's like Naked Bachelor in Paradise. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That sounds interesting.
And that's probably what sparked this was we've seriously been just watching it on a loop. And that's a whole different thing because you have to survive out in the wilderness. I have a whole plan for that. If we're ever going to go on there.
Yeah.
But, so that's
like
still on
naked.
The table.
I think being naked is so freeing.
It would drive me nuts, though, if somebody we knew had naked footage of my wife, it would drive me insane.
Yeah, it's on my mind. But she's a good-looking lady. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, what's he going to say? Hand over the tapes, punk.
Yeah, he's not going to, like, you know, I'm hoping it just goes away.
Right? Yeah, that's your best bet is to just not acknowledge it. If he keeps sending photos in the group chat, maybe you have a talk with him. But I think at this point you just, you know, make a joke out of it and move on because you don't even want to think about or talk about it anymore. I suggest you take an edible and just chill. Sounds like you need it.
All right. Thank you very much for your advice.
I don't know that we gave advice, but
yeah,
complicated situation.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how we're going to follow up our, you know, advice with what we just had, but we're going to read emails. But first, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. So we have Gwen Whiting from The Laundress scrubbing in today, and she is like a professional with her equipment all set up. Welcome to the OR,
welcome.
Gwen.
I'm a professional laundry scrubber, too. Yeah.
Just what we like. I actually just, before I left, I lost my smell to COVID, like, about a month and a half ago, and I still don't have my smell. It's like very faint, so only really like nice smells I can kind of get a glimpse. And I used The Laundress, and I was like, I think I can smell my clothes, which is so nice.
I think I can smell again.
Yay!
I've been panicking. Yeah, and I've been panicking that it's going to be something bad, you know, that I smell first. So I've been like really happy that it's been like nice fragrant scents.
Oh, good. Clean laundry. It's a good scent.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
What inspired you guys to start The Laundress?
The short answer is dry cleaning bills.
Preach, sister.
that's the cheap and cheerful answer. But the bigger part of that story was, I was young, early 20s in my career, mid 20s, and really amassing my wardrobe and my investments and my bedding and sheets and all these things, and wanting to take better care of these items and really being challenged by what was out there to work with. I lived in a 6-floor walk up. I had no washer dryer. I had the fluff and fold and dry cleaner around the corner. And I had specific challenges between pit stains on my white t-shirts and button downs. I had delicates, cashmere, new jeans that I wanted to keep looking perfect. And I really needed the opposite of the one size fits all grocery product. Mm-hmm. So that led to setting out and creating my own solutions to these laundry problems.
It's honestly awesome because I will say when the pandemic hit, I stopped going to the dry cleaner because I mean, everything, you know, didn't really need anything. Mm-hmm. And then I recently went back to bring something. One jacket was $35. I was insane.
insane.
Speaking of, like, what are some tips and tricks of getting like your fall sweaters and jackets like ready to go? I mean, I don't know what New York is like, but LA is still so hot. So we have time to prepare, but I do want them to feel like fresh and new because they've been stuffed away for a minute now.
Sure. I actually love doing big batch seasonal cleanups. It's just such an effective way. And then you don't forget, is this one clean and is this one dirty? What happened? So I really love doing big batches, and it can be in the beginning of the season or throughout, but to wash all of your cashmere and do a whole wash festival and do everything at once. And then you can treat them all and know that they're all clean at the end of a season or at the beginning of a new one. I also like to do the same with my jeans. I wash all the jeans in one time, so I know, you know, they're all clean or not so clean anymore. I even trained my husband to do a pit stain dress shirt triage. So he gathers all the shirts and treats his collars and cuffs and armpits. And it's just a nice way to do it all at once and have great results. And then you know when to go at it again. But also in terms of dry cleaning items, investing in a steamer, a really good steamer, will pay it forward as you just discovered your $35 blazer jacket fee. You know, a really good steamer. I've had my steamer since college and it's been a few.
Yeah. So it's like all you need is the laundress and a good steamer and you are good to go, baby.
Yeah. And we also make a fabric fresh called Fabric Fresh. We make in a few of our fragrances.
It smells very good.
It's so good. Yeah. I love that.
So you can spray and freshen and steam, and then that really will reduce the need to a frequency for dry cleaning.
Yeah, I love having the option of not having to. I mean, it's kind of stressful too. You're like giving over your clothes. When you do it, it's frustrating, but you're kind of like, ugh, I did this to myself. When you give it to someone else and they do something that hurts it, you're like,
hurts it.
And you pay for it.
Paid for it. Yeah. And they never give you your money back. They're like,
sorry. Okay, well, for a limited time, you can get 25% off of the Laundress's whole line of laundry solutions so that you guys can experience their noticeably amazing results for yourself.
Just go to thelaundress.com for 25% off and use code SCRUBBING at checkout at thelaundress.com. Some exclusions apply. Well, thank you for hopping on and giving us some tips and tricks. I seriously love it. I use the Refresh like all the time. I actually smelled that before I got COVID, so I know exactly what that smells like. And it's one of my favorite things to just spritz. Even like my couch, sometimes I'll just spray it on.
Yeah, no, the scents are very, very, very like lush and delicious. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for giving us this code to give to our listeners.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so glad your listeners seem to be enjoying it. So that's great.
Well, we loved having you on and just catching up with you. So thanks for scrubbing in today.
I know. I want a glass of wine with you ladies. What's going on?
I know. I want to come to New York. I'm really missing New York, but I'm waiting for it to cool down a little bit so I can get the fall effect.
Yeah, you got to wear the wool. You got to wear the wool.
It's perfect glass of wine time where you are. I feel like it's a teensy early for us.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm drinking wine. It's 4 at noon. So yeah.
All right. We are back with some emails. Mark, take it away.
Cassidy says, Tanya, what advice do you have for dating someone with kids? I recently had a baby. The father is not involved. So I'm looking to hear from the other perspective. He's still little, just over 2 months old, but I've been single for over a year. So I would like to start branching out and figuring out how I want to go about things.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give you is that you can write your own story. I think that the thing that people get really tripped up on with this kind of stuff, and I did in the beginning too, is like you read handbooks or you watch YouTube videos of like how to meet them and how to do it and how to do it properly. And it's like, it's different for everybody, whatever feels the most natural to you. You know what I mean? Like this is your life. This is your child and you get to decide how quickly, how slowly you want to bring somebody in. Like you get to decide those, you know, the way that you want to do it. And so I think really sitting with yourself and figuring out how you want to go about it. I think, you know, having a happy parent leads to happy kids, in my opinion. And I'll never forget this one man, actually, a few years ago, we met this couple, and the guy had been divorced with 2 kids when he met his now wife. And we were just like chatting with them. And he said, you know, what's the best piece of advice or something like that? And the guy said, kids grow where the sun shines. And it was just like the sweetest, just like sun shines. Just keep it happy. Keep it positive. Do what feels good for you. And that would be my advice.
Great.
Is that bad advice?
No.
Sound advice. Good.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I liked that it was from the perspective of someone who has the kids dating.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to dating someone with the kids.
Because I think there comes a lot of like, I feel like, and I shouldn't write this in the email, but there comes a lot of guilt with it too. And so a lot of people who, you know, she might be feeling guilty for wanting to date or wanting to find happiness. And I don't think you should feel any sort of guilt in that regard at all. Having a happy life and a good partner is only going to benefit your kid.
And I think being very proud and open about having a kid and how proud you are and how important this child is to you is really going to set the tone for how the people you date respond to you having a kid too, which we've talked about on the podcast before.
Yeah, because like I think the other thing too is like don't try and hide it. Like if you're on dating apps, don't try and just put, you know, post a picture of you and your child so that the people you're matching with know, you know, like I knew straight up from day one what, you know,
you could just, you know, not post it and then, you know, fall in love and then they show up to the house and they're like, who's this?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. That's horrible advice. Yeah, don't do that. I would just say, I agree. I think you just like, but incorporate into a conversation, not like in a way that you're like, oh, I have a kid, but being like, I have this amazing child that I love. That's my whole life.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Anonymous. I met this guy back in May through Bumble and we hit it off right away. Last week was my birthday. He said he was taking me out to dinner, a surprise, and we were going to spend Labor Day weekend in New York City. On the day of my birthday, we had a misunderstanding regarding the dinner reservation. He canceled the reservation without consulting me because I had made another reservation at a restaurant that we were dying to go to for Thursday, the day after my birthday, and he assumed that was going to be the celebration for my birthday. I'm a little confused by that, but I think I got it.
Basically, the birthday plans canceled bad.
Sure. Okay. We talked on the phone, he apologized, and I said that I accepted his apology, but what made me sad was, even though he made a mistake, he didn't even try to fix it or be with me on my birthday. That led him to tell me that he felt like he was disappointing me all the time, and he still was in limbo regarding if he wanted a relationship or not. So he decided to end things on my birthday. He said if I wanted to continue talking to him or ask him anything, I could. Should I reach out to him? I want to talk to him and figure out what the heck happened. Everyone keeps saying to not talk to him, but I can't just leave things like that. What would you do? And by the way, I just found out he unfollowed me on Instagram.
The detail of that email is really blessing my heart.
Yes. That sounded so Tanya seeking advice.
So Tanya seeking advice. So I have particular advice. It's probably opposite of what you're going to say.
I think you're going to say reach out to him and get closure if you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead. Take it away.
So first of all, somebody that dumps you on your birthday, it's a hard no for me, but that I'm going to put that aside. If you can't get past this and there's things rolling around your brain and you just want answers to things, but I think you should reach out. But I think also holding yourself to a standard and like not backing down and not holding out hope or in that sort of sense, like not having an ulterior motive. If you really just want to know like where his head's at and you need that conversation, then I think you should have it. But I don't know. Dumping you on your birthday seems cold.
I mean, I'm kind of on the same page. If it's something that you can't stop thinking about and you're like, I'm a little conflicted because they started hanging out or met in May, which wasn't that long. Like
August. It's been 4 months.
I don't know. If he already made the move to unfollow you on Instagram and it got that, like he just checked out that fast, I'm almost like, don't even give him the time of day anymore. Like you've given enough and he's clearly out. But I think if you're kind of like, I cannot move on until I have some sort of conversation with him, then do it knowing that you deserve better. Like that you can have that conversation, get closure, and then move on to something
better.
And
you might not get closure in the conversation, but then...
Well, for herself, like if she needs to say something, then she can say it, not expecting him. He might not say anything you want to hear, but knowing that you can say what you need to say and then move on to bigger and better things.
This is not your guy. To me, he sounds like a bit of a load. I think that he was looking for an opportunity to get out. Like, it seems like he took the first chance he could. Like, what? You're not happy about the reservation? Okay, it's over for me.
Right.
So I think he was looking for an opportunity.
Or if he said he's hates that he's always disappointing you, like, what else has he done in the last 4 months? Like, seems...
Yeah.
Seems early for that level of disappointment. Correct. For him to be feeling that way. It's just not a match. And that's okay. If you want to have lunch with him and sort things out, I don't know, I guess have at it. But you're not going to get anything you want to hear from out of that guy.
Yeah. Sometimes
and he's not paying for lunch.
Yeah. Sometimes you get, what is it? You can, you never,
this will be good.
It's hard to help when nothing's coming out.
The closure. They say it's like sometimes you get the answers that you never get the answers you're going to need. So you have to get closure on your own.
Yeah,
there's some sort of quote like that.
I hear where you're going with that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think I almost feel like reaching out to him is going to set you up for more rejection and hurt because you're probably going to have expectations going into that conversation. But if you can go into it saying like, I just need to say this, regardless of what he says in return, it's going to make me feel better and I can move on, do it. But go into it without, with very low expectations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We like low expectations around here. Just keep them low. And then keep them real high. It's a tough balance. But you got to do it.
Yeah, it is a balance.
Yeah, got to keep the expectations low and then keep them real high, if you know what I'm saying.
What?
Oh, man.
Did that turn sexual or something? Why'd your voice do that thing that you do when you're talking about like, making out?
Oh, did? Yeah. I didn't even mean to. No, 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 I didn't mean
to. Did y'all get that one? I wasn't looking at her, so all I heard was keep them low and then keep them real high.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Yeah. It sounded.
I got the vibe.
There's genitalia involved.
The vibe.
Tanya, are you saying keep them low when dating and then once you're in a relationship, keep them high? Is that the idea?
No, I think she was saying keep them low going into that kind of conversation with someone who's lame like that, but then raise them up again when you get back on the horse.
Once dating, the expectations need to be high because your partner, your partner is needs to like level up. Your partner needs to be a better leveled up version of...
Did you say once dating?
Once. Is that not a word?
I mean, I think you're doing like a Shakespearean thing.
Yeah, yeah, like
a whomst. It's kind of fun.
Not doing a Shakespearean thing.
I am so Shakespeare adjacent.
Y'all literally reach so far for her. Like, yeah, it's a word if it's said in this way or back in the Shakespearean days. Like, that's not what she's doing.
Like, shooketh. Shooketh, like, I feel like she's just doing a Shakespearean thing. And
exactly.
Fine,
shooketh to my core.
Shooketh is more like a, you know, newer term.
I'm basically Shakespeare.
We've gone so far from Shakespeare, we're back to back with Shakespeare. That's how far away you got.
Exactly.
You made the full circle.
Exactly.
Well, whenst it's been fun.
It's been whenst fun.
Whilst it's been fun. Well, it's time to say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
We will be back next week for another hard-hitting week of news, hard-hitting episode of news. Happy anniversary if you've been here from the beginning.
Yay!
And even if you came late and started from the beginning, or even if you started last week, we are so happy to have you.
Easty, how many is that? Because I feel like it should be over 200, right? If it's been 4 years, how many episodes have there been of scrubbing in? I'm asking Easton, and I know that he is the kind of person that would have that information very quickly at hand. That seconds from now, he'll burst forth with a three-digit number to let us know how many episodes there have been. Easton?
The number of episodes
let's guess. Everyone guess.
Okay. All right.
Yes, please.
How many weeks in a year? 56?
Come on. Really? That's I feel every human should know that.
214.
Tanya's making faces at me because she didn't like that I said that. Isn't it common knowledge how many weeks are in a year?
No. I mean, yes, but Shakespearean people, we don't bother with that.
Yeah,
okay.
Rebecca,
how many weeks are in a year?
56.
No.
52.
52?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I was going between it because I heard both numbers from her.
I'm going to say 208 episodes.
Well, that would be precise. I feel like we've had weeks where we've done more than one.
Right. But and what did you say, Becca?
I said 214.
214. And are we playing Price is Right rules that you cannot go over?
No, just whoever's closest.
Okay. 208, 214. Then I will say 218.
Okay. Becca technically wins right on the money to the point where I think she's looking at something.
No!
214.
Because in our system, it says Scrubbing In has 214 episodes, which is remarkable. However, some of those are trailers for This Is Paris and other iHeartRadio podcast. So I'm trying to pull up exactly how many episodes
we have. I'm going to give it to Becca.
That's pretty impressive.
And I'm also going to say that Becca is not a cheater. And then double tier on that, like a sub tier of that point, is that I don't even think she would bother to like check.
No.
Right.
I don't know how you would look, honestly.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know how to look at that.
Right. So I'm going to say that's just her genius mind. Shakespearean, well, some may
there's
say.
There's not as much pride in winning when you cheat. Like, there, you get, like, maybe you feel the high of saying, people being like, you're the thinking that you win. But deep down, I feel a sense of pride right now that I guessed that without looking at anything.
Right on the, I mean, not counting this episode we're doing right now, but 214 episodes. That's pretty incredible, Becca. I'm impressed.
I'm just impressed that we have done 214, give or take some trailers of this show. That's pretty great. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, baby.
So that's like 214 hours of our lives, give or take a few.
I mean, a lot of episodes are 90 minutes. Some are longer. So
It's a lot of math.
I'll get on that. I'll really work on that during my other homework this week.
Yeah, this Shakespearean mind can't do the numbers quite.
Too below you, really.
Too right-minded, you know? Like, or what's the math mind? Isn't the math mind your right brain?
I don't know.
Yes,
because your left is your creativity.
Like logic and reasoning.
This is what I kind of miss, the like outro we had, because it would just like cut Tanya off, you know, like when she went into this stuff and she's like beep beep bye, and then we'd have to be like, bye, love you, bye,
please cut me off. I have a man on his way and I want to smooch him.
Oh my god, I gotta get out of here. We love you all, and we'll be back next week. Bye.